As most of you know, I'm voting for Donald Trump in November. I've said so many, many times at this point, but I'm not just voting for Donald Trump. Next week, I will be co-hosting a fundraiser for him. Now, this may come as a surprise to some of you. I want to tell you why. As you know, I didn't support Trump in the primaries. I don't endorse candidates in Republican primaries, but I do tell you who I would have voted for. And I told you I would have voted for Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida if given the choice. But Ron DeSantis isn't the nominee. Donald Trump is the nominee. And he's facing Joe Biden, who is the worst president of my lifetime. Because Donald Trump is the nominee against Joe Biden, I won't just vote for him. I will walk over broken glass to vote for him. Actually, I will go into my own pocket to support him, which is what I'm doing. My calculus is really simple. America was better off under Donald Trump than it is under Joe Biden. At home, America was safer and more prosperous. When Donald Trump was president, we did not have an open border. We were not flooding our country with at least 7 million illegal immigrants, overwhelming our cities, leaving our country wide open to the plague of Chinese and Mexican drug cartel-backed fentanyl poisoning. When Donald Trump was president, we didn't have a president who tried to use the Occupational Safety and Health Administration to force 80 million Americans to take a vaccine or lose their jobs. And my company didn't have to sue to stop it. When Donald Trump was president, we didn't have 40-year highs in inflation and decreasing real wages. When Donald Trump was president, we didn't have a federal attempt to teach children that boys can be girls and vice versa, or to force taxpayers to subsidize abortion, or to target religious institutions for the great crime of upholding traditional Judeo-Christian values. When Donald Trump was president, we didn't have an administration hell-bent on stymieing the police in their attempts to fight crime, or an administration that values diversity and inclusion and wokeness above military readiness, all in the name of equity. When Donald Trump was president, we did not have American businesses preparing to have their incomes robbed from them in the name of the biggest spending programs in American history. When Donald Trump was president, we didn't have unconstitutional attempts to simply wipe away student loan debt or a Department of Justice dedicated to the targeting of political opposition. When Donald Trump was president, the world was not on fire. When Donald Trump was president, we did not cut and run in the face of 8th century barbarians in Afghanistan who blew up 13 American soldiers, hunted down our allies, and reestablished al-Qaeda bases. When Donald Trump was president, peace was breaking out in the Middle East between Arab nations and Israel, and Iran was in a box. We certainly did not have a multi-front hot war between Iranian proxies and American allies or American soldiers directly, and we weren't trying to pay billions in bribes to the Iranian mullahs. When Donald Trump was president, we didn't have a war in Ukraine. When Donald Trump was president, we didn't have China threatening imminent blockade of Taiwan. When Donald Trump was president, America was better off. Now, as I've said, I will always be honest with you about Donald Trump. He was not my first choice in the primaries. He's a deeply flawed human. I've been open in my criticisms of Trump on both character and policy, and I'm not going to stop criticizing Donald Trump when I disagree with him. I always will be honest about that, and I always will. That's my job. It's the job of all Americans, because Donald Trump, as a presidential candidate, works for us. But Donald Trump is the man standing between America and a second Joe Biden term. And a second Joe Biden term means America is in dire trouble. It is that simple. I encourage all of you who, like me, would have preferred another nominee for the GOP to recognize this is now a binary race. It is Trump or it is Biden. And unlike in 2016, we don't have to guess at what a Trump administration will be. We also don't have to guess what a Biden administration will be. We know America cannot afford another term of Joe Biden, or perhaps more realistically, a Kamala Harris term. Joe Biden is here to finish the job Barack Obama started of fundamentally transforming America into the image of the far left. That cannot. We'll get to more on this in just a moment. First, I want to talk to you about Daily Wire's most trusted privacy partner and a premier sponsor of this show, ExpressVPN. Using the internet without ExpressVPN, it's like leaving your laptop open at the coffee shop table while you run to the bathroom. Most of the time, it's probably fine. One day, you come back and there's some weird guy going through your emails. Well, every time you connect to an unencrypted network in cafes or airports, any hacker on the same network can gain access to your personal data, like your passwords and financial details. ExpressVPN creates a secure encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet, so hackers can't steal your sensitive data. Plus, ExpressVPN has a built-in password manager, so you can keep all your passwords secure and never forget them again. What I love about ExpressVPN is how easy it is to use. Just fire up the app, click one button, now you're protected. Secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/Ben. That's expressvpn.com/Ben. You can get an extra 3 months for free. It's the VPN I've been using for legitimately years at this point to keep all of my data safe and secure. You should do the same. Go check them out right now at expressvpn.com/Ben. That's expressvpn.com/Ben. We'll get to more on this in just 1 second. First, with inflation on the rise, $20 barely gets you anything these days. In most restaurants, you can't get a burger and fries for under that. How about it like at the gas pump? Well, you might be able to get like a quarter of a gallon or something. I mean, like really, gas is getting very expensive. But from my cell phone company, PureTalk, you can get unlimited talk, text, plenty of 5G data for just $20 a month. Pure Talk gives you the same quality of service as your current cell phone provider, but for half the cost. I want to ensure you heard that. This is top-tier coverage on America's most dependable 5G network for half the cost of other carriers. The average family will save almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can switch to Pure Talk with the phone and phone number you currently use, or you can take advantage of their great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids. Making the switch is incredibly easy. Their U.S. customer service team can help you join Pure Talk in as little as 10 minutes. Choose to spend your hard-earned money with a wireless company that shares your values, supports our military and veterans, a company that creates American jobs, and refuses to advertise on fake news networks. Don't spend another day spending ridiculous amounts of money on your phone plan. Go to puretalk.com/Shapiro. Right now, my listeners can get an additional 50% off their very first month of coverage. That's puretalk.com/Shapiro. Happen. That's why I'm not just giving Donald Trump my vote. I'm giving him my money because this election matters. And Donald Trump must be the next president of the United States. Okay, so just another reason why Donald Trump has to be president of the United States is the Democratic Party's decision to cater to pro-Hamasniks in Dearborn, Michigan. So yesterday, in the biggest news of the day, Chuck Schumer, who's the Senate Majority Leader, pathetically enough, he called on Israel to hold new elections. The reason he is doing this is because Democrats are trying to play an incredibly stupid game right now. They believe that they need to win Michigan in order for Joe Biden to win the presidency. And they believe there are enough Arab American voters who like Hamas in Michigan that if they somehow undercut Israel in its war against Hamas, they will win those Arab votes in Michigan and therefore have a shot at winning the election. Because if they lose Michigan, it's over, by the way. As the map currently stands, if Donald Trump wins both Nevada and Michigan, he wins the presidency. And right now he's leading in Nevada and he's leading in Michigan. By the way, he's also leading in Pennsylvania and Wisconsin. So they got a bigger problem on their hands than just Michigan. But Democrats are figuring that they might be able to split the baby a little bit. And what they're going to try to do here, and this has been obviously pushed by the Biden administration and Schumer is just doing their dirty work, they are trying to suggest to Jewish voters who overwhelmingly historically have voted Democrat, not Orthodox voters like me, Orthodox voters vote 70-30, 80-20 for the Republicans. But Jewish voters broadly vote Democrat. The thing that they are trying to do is they're trying to say that the reason that they are distancing themselves from Israel is not because they're somehow anti-Israel or pro-Hamas. The reason they're doing this is because they just don't like Bibi Netanyahu. And what they are counting on is liberal Jews being stupid enough to believe that their opposition to Israeli policy is not about opposition to Israel, it's about opposition to Netanyahu. The reason this makes no sense on any sort of logical level, of course, is that Bibi Netanyahu is currently part of a war cabinet. That war cabinet includes his prime opposition, Benny Gantz, of the opposition party. If the elections were held today, Benny Gantz would be the prime minister. Not only that, Benny Gantz would then do exactly what Bibi Netanyahu is doing. There is zero dissent in Israel right now about whether Israel ought to go into Rafah and finish off Hamas. This is not a matter of controversy in Israel. There is widespread unanimity about exactly what has to happen to Hamas in the Gaza Strip. But what the Biden administration has been trying to do is have it both ways. So they want to say to the Dearborn voters, well, sure, we're still providing some support to Israel, but we really hate Bibi Netanyahu. So you got to believe us. We're trying to hold him back. That's us. If it weren't for us, he'd just be going hog wild. And then they want to say to Jewish voters, I mean, sure, we're holding Israel back, but the real reason we're holding Israel back is because we really hate Bibi, and Bibi's so bad. And you liberal Jewish voters, you don't like Bibi either. That's the game that they're playing. So Chuck Schumer tried to play this game yesterday on the floor of the Senate, in which he engaged in something I've never seen an American politician of his rank engage in ever with regard to a foreign ally, ever. Britain, France, Poland, Spain, like nowhere have I ever seen that. I've never seen a top level American politician say with regard to an American ally overseas that we are calling for new elections in order to oust the current sitting prime minister or president of that country. I've never heard anything like it. It really is remarkable. And that's what Schumer did yesterday. So Schumer gets up there and he blames Netanyahu for the violence, which again is insane. There was no violence in the Gaza Strip from Israel until Hamas decided to cross the border between the Gaza Strip and Israel, slaughter 1,200 people, mass rape women, kill babies, and then take 250 hostages back into the Gaza Strip and not surrender. But here is Schumer again trying to go after Netanyahu.
The Netanyahu coalition no longer fits the needs of Israel after October 7th. The world has changed radically since then, and the Israeli people are being stifled right now by a governing vision that is stuck in the past. Nobody expects Prime Minister Netanyahu to do the things that must be done to break the cycle of violence, to preserve Israel's credibility on the world stage, and to work towards a two-state solution. If he were to disavow Ministers Smotrich and Ben-Gavir and kick them out of his government governing coalition, that would be a real meaningful step forward. But regrettably, there's no reason to believe Prime Minister Netanyahu would do that. He won't disavow Ministers Smotrich and Ben-Gavir and their calls for Israelis to drive Palestinians out of Gaza and the West Bank. He won't commit to a military operation in Rafah that prioritizes protecting civilian life. He won't engage responsibly in discussions about a day-after plan for Gaza and a long-term and a longer-term.
Okay, so he's criticizing Netanyahu here. Benny Gantz wouldn't do any of these things either. Benny Gantz is not going to simply suggest that the Palestinian Authority ought to be in charge of the Gaza Strip. What's amazing here is that Schumer is saying, well, Israel needs a new election. Okay, first of all, Israel holds an election like every 5 minutes. Their last election was in November of 2022. And before that, they'd had 5 elections in 4 years. One thing I noticed that Schumer didn't do is call for an election in the Gaza Strip or in the West Bank for the Palestinians, who have not held an election since 2005. The reason that he's not calling for an election there is because if there were an election there, Hamas wins. And he knows it. And so does the Biden administration. The last thing they want is democracy in the West Bank or Gaza Strip, because it might actually validate the simple fact that the Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza Strip do not want peace with Israel, are hell-bent on destroying the state of Israel, and would elect a government to demonstrate exactly that. So instead, he is pouring ire on Netanyahu's government. Again, it's illogical. On just a pure, basic, factual level, it makes no sense. Benny Gantz and the opposition are part of the current government in Israel. The current government in Israel represents, if you include Gantz's party, it represents almost 80 seats in the Knesset out of 120. This makes zero sense. So here is Schumer calling for the replacement of elected officials. Again, I've never seen anything remotely like this in American politics before. The calling on an elected government in a parliamentary system to dissolve itself to please Chuck Schumer or something.
On the Israeli side, the U.S. government should demand that Israel conduct itself with a future two-state solution in mind. We should not be forced into a position of unequivocally supporting the actions of an Israeli government that include bigots who reject the idea of a Palestinian state. Israel is a democracy. 5 months into this conflict, it is clear that Israelis need to take stock of the situation and ask, must we change course? At this critical juncture, I believe a new election is the only way to allow for a healthy and open decision-making process about the future of Israel.
You don't talk about imperialism. That's imperialism right there. Israelis are not protesting for a new election. Israelis, by polling data, are not interested in a new election at this very moment. There will be a new election, and Bibi will probably not do well unless somehow Democrats spur him into victory by opposition to him. How do you know that this is so crazy and ridiculous? This is so crazy that Benny Gantz, who is, again, the leader of the opposition, who, if an election were held today, would probably be prime minister of Israel, he came out against Schumer. Benny Gantz said that Schumer was, quote, a friend of Israel who helps us a lot, including recently, but he made a mistake in his speech. Quote, Israel is a strong democracy. Only its citizens will determine its leadership and future. Any external intervention in the matter is incorrect and unacceptable. Right? That, of course, again, that is Bibi's opposition in Israel. What Schumer is doing has nothing to do with the best thing for America or for Israel. It has to do with what's the best thing for Joe Biden in Michigan. That's all this is. As many people have joked before, the two-state solution for Joe Biden is not Israel and a Palestinian state. A two-state solution for Joe Biden is Michigan and Minnesota, both states with heavy Muslim populations. So Schumer later in the day tried to walk it back a little bit. He said the U.S. cannot dictate the outcome of an election. That is for the Israeli public to decide. As a democracy, Israel has the right to choose its own leaders. But the important thing is that Israelis are given a choice. There needs to be a fresh debate about the future. Well, thanks for trying to walk that one back. You literally called for an election in which the United States would effectively cut off support for Israel, depending on whether Israel elected people that you like. And again, the people that Joe Biden supposedly likes would pursue precisely the same policy in Rafah that they're currently pursuing. Benny Gantz is traveling around the state of Israel right now telling people that the operations in Rafah are imminent. It's totally crazy. It's more on this in a moment. First, spring is in the air, and with that comes spring cleaning. Now, there are lots of ways you can refresh your home for spring. You can clean, reorganize, maybe even paint. And that's great. But here is the best thing you can do. Get some new bedding. Bowl & Branch makes the softest, most breathable bedding you will ever experience. I absolutely love my Bowl & Branch sheets. You can feel the difference in quality compared to all the other sheets. In fact, we took all of our other sheets and we threw them out because these luxury sheets are fantastic, buttery, breathable. They get softer every time you wash them. I can't sleep without them. Literally cannot, which is why when I'm on the road, I even bring Bowl & Branch blankets in my suitcase. Upgrade your sleep today with Bowl & Branch's signature sheets. These best-selling sheets are made from the finest quality 100% organic cotton, completely free from synthetic pesticides, formaldehyde, and other harsh chemicals. Bowl & Branch's signature sheets come in 14 versatile colors in all sizes, from twin all the way on up to California King. With their 30-night worry-free guarantee, you can wash, style, and sleep in Bowl & Branch sheets for an entire month. If you don't love them, send them right back. But you'll love them. Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Bowl & Branch. Get 15% off your order when you use promo code Ben at bowlandbranch.com. That's bowlandbranch.com. Promo code Ben. Exclusions apply. See site for details. We'll get to more on this in just one moment. First, spring is here. That means spring cleaning, warmer weather. The flowers and leaves are beginning to bloom. So, of course, you should be thinking about death. I'm just joking, but you actually should. You should be thinking about life insurance with Policy Genius. Getting life insurance today means you'll have peace of mind. So if something were to happen to you, your family can cover expenses while getting back on their feet. Luckily, Policy Genius helps you compare options from top companies and their team of licensed experts on hand to help you talk through it. Policy Genius has licensed award-winning agents and technology that makes it easy to compare life insurance quotes from America's top insurers in just a few clicks to find your lowest price. Even if you already have life insurance through work, it might not offer enough protection for your family's needs, and it might not follow you if you leave your job. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies starting at just $292 per year for $1 million in coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid those unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius works for you, not the insurance companies, which means they don't have the incentive to recommend one insurer over another. Save time, save money, provide your family with financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head on over to policygenius.com/Shapiro. Get your free life insurance quotes. See how much you could save. That's policygenius.com/Shapiro. Here's Mitch McConnell going after Chuck Schumer for this insanity.
It is grotesque and hypocritical for Americans who hyperventilate about foreign interference in our own democracy to call for the removal of a democratically elected leader of Israel. This is unprecedented. We should not treat fellow democracies this way at all. Things that upset left-wing activists are not a prime minister's policies. There is Israel's policies. Make no mistake, the Democratic Party doesn't have an anti-Bibi problem. It has an anti-Israel problem. Israel is not a colony of America whose leaders serve at the pleasure of the party in power in Washington. Only Israel's citizens should have a say in who runs their government. This is the very definition of democracy and sovereignty. Either we respect their decisions or we disrespect their democracy.
Okay, so again, what this is really about for the Biden administration has nothing to do with Netanyahu. And this is just another reason why Joe Biden is a garbage president with a garbage administration. He is deploying Secretary of State Antony Blinken to now say that the number one job for Israel in Gaza is protecting civilians. Actually, no, that's the number two job. The number one job is destroying Hamas. That is the number one job. Because if Hamas is not destroyed, all the civilians in Gaza will live under the thumb of a terrorist group for the foreseeable future. And Israel will come under attack again. And there will be more warfare. The idea that it's Israel's number one job to protect civilians as opposed to a high priority that lands just below killing members of Hamas and preventing the threat against its homeland. Honest to God, there's no way that Tony Blinken would say this about any foreign conflict involving an American ally. Would Tony Blinken say about Ukraine, it's Ukraine's number one job to protect Russian civilians? Is that literally the number one thing he would say? Of course he would never say that because it's insane. But here's Tony Blinken doing this routine. Again, this is all about Joe Biden moving to the radical left in order to win votes in Michigan. It's not going to help him, by the way, because he's abandoning the moderate voters who brung him.
Where there's a will, there's a way. We look to the government of Israel to make sure that this is a priority. Protecting civilians, getting people the assistance they need. That has to be job number one, even as they do what is necessary to defend the country and to deal with the threat posed by Hamas.
There's nothing stupider than saying something like, where there's a will, there's a way, with regard to insoluble problems. It's like, you have cancer. Okay, well, where there's a will, there's a way. That's not how this works. That is not how this works. You think that if Israel couldn't get aid to the civilians without risking its own troops, that somehow it wouldn't do that? Of course it would do that. Israel is currently shipping hundreds of food trucks into the Gaza Strip. Like, as we speak, right now, they're flooding Gaza with aid. The problem is that Hamas is stealing all of it and then shooting the civilians who are attempting to get it. It's totally wild. But again, this is all politicking. It's all politicking. And that politicking makes the world a much more dangerous place. Because remember, appeasing Hamas means appeasing Iran. Iran is currently causing the Houthis to attack American allied shipping in the Red Sea. A huge percentage of shipping that used to go through the Red Sea is now going around the south tip of Africa, the Cape of Good Hope. And that is a massive problem because it makes everything much more expensive for everybody. What's going to happen when oil supplies get threatened from that region in terms of shipping, which is what's happening right now by the Houthis? What happens when Iran incentivizes Hezbollah to go hot on Israel's northern border? You think you're seeing wreckage now? Wait until Israel has to go north. And meanwhile, the Biden administration is happily pushing all of this crap, specifically in order to try to buy off the constituents of Rashida Tlaib. It's totally insane. By the way, Joe Biden is now telling Israel what kind of Rafah campaign it could support. And of course, it's the kind of campaign that magically exists in Joe Biden's brain and nowhere else. According to Politico, senior U.S. officials have told their Israeli counterparts the Biden administration would support Israel going after high-value Hamas targets in and underneath Rafah, as long as Israel avoids a large-scale invasion that could fracture the alliance. Okay, so if they can magically use their magic wand to kill Hamas members without actually having to do anything, I'm sure Israel's all for it. And then again, it's all virtue signaling from the Biden administration to the far left. The Biden administration is now putting sanctions not on Palestinian terrorists in the West Bank, but on Israeli settlers in the West Bank. They have promulgated regulations that are specifically designed to effectively target any administration in Israel that does not preemptively surrender land to the Palestinian Authority or Hamas. They've been doing this for months. They're just prepping the groundwork for all that. Meanwhile, they're signing billions of dollars in checks to the actual Iranians right now. I mean, just yesterday, the Biden administration decided that it was going to greenlight the payment of $10 billion, the release of sanction money, $10 billion to Iran in the middle of this war. All this is patently insane. Again, just another reason why Joe Biden cannot and should not win another term as president of the United States. He is a full-scale disaster area. Okay, meanwhile, speaking of idiotic anti-Semitic nonsense, there is a theory that's going around now about this ban on TikTok. That is totally absurd and insane. I need to talk about it for a moment. So there's a ban on TikTok in the United States. It is not a ban on the use of TikTok if TikTok is not owned by China. To call it a TikTok ban is actually a bit of a misnomer. What the bill does, and I've read the bill, what the bill actually says is that companies that are owned and controlled by China, Iran, Russia, and North Korea, foreign adversary controlled entities as defined by law, that companies that are controlled by those entities should be forced to divest of their foreign ownership to operate inside the United States in the social media sphere, right? That's what the bill says. It doesn't say that the federal government can take over X. It doesn't say the federal government can take over Facebook or Apple or any American-owned company that is controlled by Americans. It doesn't even say that America can do that to an allied country, an allied-owned company that is owned by, say, the Brits or something. It says specifically those four countries. That's what the bill says. We'll get to more on this in a moment. First, there's nothing like sitting behind home plate at a baseball game, unless it's a White Sox game these days. But when you want the best tickets anywhere, you have to connect quickly or somebody else will get that seat instead. It's kind of like hiring for your business. You want to find the most talented people for your open roles really fast before the competition scoops them up. The best way to do that is with ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter will help you find qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/DailyWire. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology shows you qualified people for the role. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter. Find the best talent fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within day one. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/DailyWire. Try it for free. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/DailyWire. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire. We've been using it here at Daily Wire for literally a decade at this point. Go check them out right now at ZipRecruiter.com/DailyWire. Try it out for free. Get the best employees quickly. Make sure you can filter them the most easy possible way. ZipRecruiter will do all of it for you. ZipRecruiter.com/DailyWire to try it for free. Guess more on this in a moment. First, let's be real. French fries are the only good veggie out there, but unfortunately, they're not really a healthy vegetable. Balance of Nature, fruits and veggies. That's the most convenient way to make sure you're getting your daily intake of fruits and vegetables. you know, like the vegetables that count. Balance of Nature uses an advanced cold vacuum process that encapsulates fruits and veggies into whole food supplements without sacrificing those natural antioxidants. The capsules are completely void of additives, fillers, extracts, synthetics, pesticides, or added sugar. The only thing in Balance of Nature's fruit and veggie capsules are fruits and veggies. You need nutrients to function at your best each and every day. Balance of Nature helps you do exactly that. I've been traveling a lot recently. I used to get sick a lot from traveling. Well, now I've started taking Balance of Nature. I feel a lot healthier every time I hit the ground. Go to balanceofnature.com. Use promo code Shapiro to get 35% off your first set of fruits and veggies, plus an additional $10 off every additional set that you buy. That's balanceofnature.com. Promo code Shapiro. My whole staff's been using Balance of Nature. It's great stuff. Go check them out right now. Balanceofnature.com. Promo code Shapiro to get 35% off. So here is the going theory. Here's the going anti-Semitic conspiracy theory. And it is an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory. The theory is the only reason that Congress overwhelmingly passed this bill is to help Israel. And it's all about the Jews. Okay, so here is the theory. The theory is that because TikTok has been wildly pro-Hamas, which overall it has, the amount of pro-Hamas material on TikTok is absolutely overwhelming, that because of that, that is what convinced Congress people at the behest of the Jews to now pass this attempt to ban foreign ownership of TikTok. Now, again, it wouldn't actually ban TikTok. If China sells its stake in TikTok to any sort of owner that is not from China, North Korea, Iran, or Russia, it will continue to operate the same way on your phone as it always has. But the theory is, again, that this is all spurred. This is all spurred by the fact that TikTok is promoting messages that are anti-Israel, or that there was a moment when a bunch of people on TikTok were praising Osama bin Laden that was being pushed by China because China obviously controls the algorithm, and that's bad. So the idea is no. The Jews don't want people to believe in Hamas and be pro bin Laden, and that's why the Jews made this happen. And to prove this, they've been trafficking around a clip of Jonathan Greenblatt from the Anti-Defamation League. And folks, you know my criticisms of the ADL. I believe that the ADL has largely become a tool of the political left. I've criticized it strenuously on this program. But the clip that they are playing of Jonathan Greenblatt does not actually call for the divestment of TikTok. So they play a clip of Jonathan Greenblatt talking about TikTok and talking about how basically Generation Z is turning anti-Semitic and anti-Israel, and TikTok is an element of that, which is true. And then he says there should be an attempt by people who care about this to start a social media program like Taglit, which would be Birthright Israel, in order to compete with that. He doesn't even call for the censorship of TikTok, but they've been trafficking that quote around to try and claim that basically Jonathan Greenblatt and the ADL forced 350 American Congress people to vote in favor of divesting from TikTok. Now, there are a million reasons why this is unbelievably stupid. Let's start with the simple fact that TikTok is banned in a variety of countries. TikTok, for example, is banned in China. Is that because of the Jews? TikTok, for example, cannot upload videos outside of Russia into Russia. Russia only allows videos uploaded in Russia from Russia because it believes that foreign adversaries might actually try to use TikTok as a tool against Russia. India has banned TikTok since 2020 in order to, quote, protect the data and privacy of its 1.3 billion citizens. Obviously, India must be controlled by the Jews. Pakistan, obviously a very pro-Jewish nation, they have been banning TikTok on and off since 2020 for promoting what they call immoral, obscene, and vulgar content, which, of course, TikTok is. TikTok has promoted the trans agenda in the United States like no other outlet. By far, it is not close. And I seem to recall Donald Trump in 2020 promulgating an executive order to ban TikTok on American government devices by executive order, because he couldn't do it by legislation to ban it broadly. So instead, he said you can't use it on American devices. Again, I've said before, I'm supporting Donald Trump, obviously. I agree with Donald Trump circa 2020 about TikTok rather than Donald Trump circa 2024 about TikTok. Here is the executive order that Donald Trump promulgated in 2020. Quote, TikTok, a video sharing mobile app application owned by the Chinese company ByteDance, has reportedly been downloaded over 175 million times in the United States and over 1 billion times globally. TikTok automatically captures vast swaths of information from its users, including internet and other network activity information, such as location data and browsing and search history. This data collection threatens to allow the Chinese Communist Party access to Americans' personal and proprietary information, potentially allowing China to track the locations of federal employees and contractors, build dossiers of personal information for blackmail, and conduct corporate espionage. TikTok also reportedly censors content that the Chinese Communist Party deems politically sensitive, such as content concerning protests in Hong Kong and China's treatment of Uyghurs and other Muslim minorities. This mobile application may also be used for disinformation campaigns that benefit the Chinese Communist Party, unquote. That is Donald Trump. Executive order, circa 2020. Obviously, the Jews from 2024 made this happen. They had the Jew time machine. They went back and they told Donald Trump what to do in August of 2020 on this one. Also, the Jews who are totally obviously in control of the European Commission and European Council caused the Europeans to ban TikTok from official devices in 2023. So this is an incredibly stupid theory. I'll add one other point on top of this incredibly stupid theory. The chief proponent of opposing this bill, the number one opponent of this bill, is a man named Jeff Yass. Jeff Yass gave about $1 million to the Trump campaign. He is a big investor in TikTok. His stake in TikTok is worth apparently about $33 billion. So it's a very, very sizable stake in TikTok. Jeff Yass has also given a bunch of money to, for example, Rand Paul. He's donated tens of millions of dollars over the years to Rand Paul, who also opposes the ban on TikTok. Jeff Yass is a Jew. Jeff Yass happens to be a very pro-Israel Jew. So in other words, the chief proponent of TikTok being continued to be under the control of ByteDance, which is the Chinese-owned company and Chinese-controlled company, the chief proponent of that is a pro-Israel Jew. So you're going to have to make me a case as to why exactly it's the Jews who are responsible for the ban on TikTok when literally the leading antagonist of the bill is a pro-Israel Jew named Jeff Yass. None of this makes any sense. But again, when you're an anti-Semite, anything can be blamed on the Jews. Anything up to and including a ban on TikTok in the United States. We'll get to more on this in a moment. First, did you know a baby's heart begins to beat at just 3 weeks? At 5 weeks, that heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. This can sometimes be the only defense in the womb. That's where Preborn steps in. Preborn rescues 200 babies every single day from abortion simply by giving moms an ultrasound. After hearing her child's heartbeat and seeing its perfectly formed body in the womb, she's twice as likely to choose life. By 6 weeks, the baby's eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, the baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save precious lives. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a child. And if you become a monthly sponsor, you'll receive stories and ultrasound pictures of the lives you help to save. All gifts are tax deductible. 100% of your donation goes towards saving babies today. To donate, dial #250, say keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or go to preborn.com/Ben. That's preborn.com/Ben. Go check them out right now. Dial #250, say keyword baby to get started. preborn.com/Ben. That is preborn.com/Ben to get started saving babies today. We'll get to more on this in a moment. First, with the NBA playoffs starting next week, there's no better time to get in on the action than with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000. If you want to play alongside some of Prize Picks' favorite players like Meek Mill or Sugar Sean O'Malley, you can now find Community Plays under the Promos tab of the app to view entries from some of the biggest names in the Prize Picks community every week. Prize Picks even offers injury insurance, so your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. For basketball games, if you've got a player who exits the game in the first half and doesn't come back in the second, that player projection will not count against you. The rest of your entry stays live. Producer Jake loves Prize Picks. He likes the easy-to-use interface. He's super excited to get in on the NBA playoff action. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use code Ben for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Use code Ben on the Prize Picks app for a first deposit match up to $100. A lot of good stuff to do with Prize Picks right now. NBA playoffs just beginning. It's going to be an exciting year. Use code Ben at the Prize Picks app. Get a first deposit match up to $100. Now, there can be good arguments in favor of opposing the bill. There are some interesting arguments. You can say the bill is overbroad. I've seen that argument made. I don't tend to agree with it, but I can at least see the argument. I've heard people make a First Amendment argument. I don't see that in the bill, but at least it's an argument. The argument that is full on stupid and ridiculous, however, is the argument that the reason that the government is voting this way, the reason that the Democrats and Republicans are voting this way, is because of Jewish control or outside nefarious conspiratorial control, that that's why this is happening. It's ridiculous. That is a ridiculous, ridiculous thing. The reason that this is happening is because China is an adversary of the United States that has been using TikTok as a giant psyop against the U.S. people while at the same time grabbing their information. Here was the TikTok CEO just yesterday avoiding all questions about Chinese ownership of ByteDance.
Mr. Chu, can you say with 100% certainty that the Chinese government does not have any influence over TikTok? Mr. Chu, does the Chinese government have influence over TikTok? Yes.
He's just walking
or no?
Away from the cameras here.
Mr. Chu, can you promise the American people that the Chinese government does not have influence over TikTok? Mr. Chu, doesn't it say everything that you cannot promise the American people that the Chinese government does not have influence over TikTok? It should be a simple and easy answer.
Excuse me.
Thank you.
And he is not answering that question because we all know the answer to that question. And that's the reason why there's bipartisan support for the ban on TikTok. It's like the one area of bipartisan support in the United States is opposition to China's nefarious plans. I know this because I know many of the congressmen on both sides who are involved in this particular bill. By the way, both sides on this bill includes people like Josh Hawley, who's a populist from Missouri, who's one of the first senators to applaud the House vote on the bill. He says that he thinks it's unlikely that it passes in the Senate. He says, I'd be fine taking up the House bill verbatim. If folks want to take it up and amend it, we can. My observation is people say I agree with the idea in principle, but have concerns. That basically means we should never do anything. What we're likely to see happen in the Senate is people will nickel and dime it a death by a thousand cuts. Nothing big tech doesn't want moves across the Senate floor. His main security concern is, of course, the data. China, by the way, has come out screaming mad about this, saying that effectively they would rather kill TikTok than sell it, which demonstrates once again, this is a Chinese propaganda app. Because if you are forced to the choice between selling your app for, you know, billions of dollars and shutting it down, China apparently would rather shut it down, which demonstrates exactly what this thing is. So again, lots of stupid theories out there on the interwebs and a lot of people who believe some pretty disgusting things. Okay, meanwhile, speaking of the presidential race, Joe Biden is currently losing to Donald Trump in Arizona. He is currently losing to Donald Trump in Pennsylvania, apparently. These are the latest polls, according to Breitbart. According to the Fox News polls in Arizona, as well as Pennsylvania, a head-to-head race shows 49% for Trump and Biden taking 45% in Arizona. Meanwhile, when you move on over to Pennsylvania, Trump has a narrow 49 to 47 percentage point advantage over Joe Biden. If the election were held today, Donald Trump would win somewhere in the neighborhood of 330 votes in the Electoral College. Right now, in the Real Clear Politics polling average, Donald Trump is currently leading in Wisconsin, Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Nevada, like all of them. The closest of those states, by the way, is Pennsylvania. But he is leading by a fairly solid margin in Michigan. He's up 3.5 points in Michigan in the Real Clear Politics polling average. He's up 5 in Arizona, 5 in Georgia, 5 in North Carolina, 5 in Nevada. Again, if there are no toss-up states and just held the election today, Donald Trump would be president of the United States again. And that makes perfect sense. As we've been talking about, Joe Biden is a terrible president. Once again, I think there's another shoe that's left to drop here. So I have a theory with regard to politics. And you call it the Chekhov theory of politics. So Anton Chekhov, famous playwright, he had a basic rule about his plays. It's famously called Chekhov's rule. The basic idea was that if there is a gun above the mantelpiece in act one of a play, it must be used by the end of act two. And people have taken that as like a writer's tip, right? Don't plant something unless you're going to use it. I think that when it comes to politics, that is more descriptive than prescriptive. Meaning it's not that you should write it that way. It's that that's what will happen. Joe Biden's health has been a gun lying on the mantelpiece for literally years at this point. It will end up being used by the end of act two. I think that there is at least a 50% chance that you're going to see a serious health incident with Joe Biden. I don't wish it on him. He's the president of the United States. I wish him health. With that said, that man is ailing, and it is clear that he is ailing, and his handlers know that he's ailing. Here he was yesterday. He literally had to be dragged away by his handlers. He's like, I want to answer some questions. And handlers are like shooing the reporters out of the room because they don't want him answering questions.
We're going to take a few questions.
Thank you, press. Thank you, press. Thank you so much. Thank you, press. Back in the vehicle.
See, I take a few questions.
And they said, we're going to take a few questions. And they're the handlers. Like, nope. Get out of here, reporters. See you later. Bye. What do they know that we don't? Or rather, what do they know that we do? All right, coming up, we'll get to the Biden campaign's take on whether there will be any debates with Donald Trump. We'll get to that in just one second. But first, 1 year ago, Hershey's announced a man would be leading their Women's Day campaign. Our response? In 24 hours, we launched Jeremy's Chocolate because you should be able to buy delicious chocolate from a company that doesn't hate your values. To celebrate 1 year, Jeremy's Chocolate is giving 1 year's worth of chocolate away. Ooh, goody. To enter, simply purchase one Jeremy's Chocolate product from Jeremy's or the Daily Wire shop. But hurry, today is your last chance to enter to win 1 year of Jeremy's Chocolate. Go to jeremyschocolate.com or any Jeremy's Chocolate on dailywire.com/shop. No purchase necessary, void where prohibited. We'll get to more on this in just one second. First, despite the anticipated rate cuts by financial experts, inflation continues to go up. The United States is grappling with a staggering debt, $34 trillion and counting, but we continue to print more money, driving up the prices of everyday essentials even further. You can bury your head in the sand, or you can do something about it. Consider diversifying at least some of your savings into gold with Birch Gold Group. As a leading dealer of precious metals in the United States, Birch Gold is committed to helping you discover how gold, silver, and other precious metals can help protect your lifestyle in the face of current and coming economic instabilities. Precious metals have a proven track record over, you know, thousands of years. These metals transcend government influence. They're tangible. They can't be printed like paper money. They can't be stored as a number on a computer file. Birch Gold makes it easy to own actual physical gold. They'll help you convert your existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold. You won't pay a penny out of pocket. Gold is part of my savings strategy. I get it from Birch Gold. Text Ben to 989898. Get your free info kit on gold today. They have been the exclusive gold partner of The Daily Wire for over 7 years, helping thousands of our listeners. They can help you too. Text Ben to 989898 right now. That's Ben to 989898.
This show is brought to you by Helix Sleep. Sleep, especially as you get older, is so critical, but no two people sleep alike. That's why Helix offers several different mattress models, each designed for specific sleep positions and preferences. Go to helixsleep.com/dailywire and take their sleep quiz to find the mattress made for you. Whether you're a side sleeper, a stomach sleeper, a hot sleeper, or a cold sleeper, Helix has just the mattress for you. I took the Helix sleep quiz and was matched with a Helix midnight mattress because I wanted a medium firmness and I sleep on my side. I am sleeping so much better on my new mattress. Don't want to take my word for it? Well, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Take the quiz and order the perfect mattress right to your door, shipped for free. It's so quick and fun to unbox, and you won't believe how well you'll sleep. All Helix mattresses come with a 100-night trial and a 10- or 15-year warranty. Helix even offers financing options and flexible payment plans. A great night's sleep is never far away. Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and a free bedroom bundle for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/dailywire and use code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. That's helixsleep.com/dailywire, code HELIXPARTNER20.
Okay, meanwhile, so with Joe Biden ailing and trailing in the polls, what are the chances he actually does a debate with Donald Trump? His campaign is pretty much saying nothing about it because obviously the answer is they will not put him on a stage with Trump. It would be a huge mistake for them to put him on a stage with Trump. Here was the Biden campaign refusing to answer the question.
The former president has said that he wants to debate the president anytime, anywhere, under any conditions with any moderator. Will the president take him up on that?
I think it's really funny that Donald Trump keeps saying things from Truth Social when he just stays in the basement of Mar-a-Lago. I don't think he's done any campaigning this week while the president's been out there. But look, Major, the president is traveling the country, talking to the voters who will decide this election. We haven't had the conversation about something that may happen in August. But what I can say is the debate plays out every time Joe Biden talks about what he is fighting for and what Donald Trump is fighting for, which is bad, it's rejected, it's toxic, and it's not the American way.
Hey, the way you know Biden is losing is when one candidate is opposing the other candidate of running a basement strategy. The candidate who's doing the accusation is losing. We know this from 2020 because Trump was doing this with Biden. Trump was telling Biden, you're running a basement strategy, come out and fight me like a man. And Biden's like,
I'm watching Matlock.
And then Biden won. So right now, if Trump runs the basement strategy, this is the great irony. If Trump goes to the basement and stays there until the election, he will be the president of the United States again, especially given the fact that all the legal cases seem to be falling apart. According to MSNBC, Judge Scott McAfee has now ruled in Georgia that Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis and her office can continue to prosecute Trump and his co-defendants, but only if Special Prosecutor Nathan Wade steps down. So you'll remember that Fannie Willis was shtipping Nathan Wade, and there's all sorts of fiscal impropriety and conflict of interest problems for Fannie Willis. On appeal, this case gets tossed. I mean, if this case goes forward, and if Fannie Willis even secures a conviction, which is doubtful, even if she were able to do that, this now gets tossed on appeal because the judge split the baby. In the Friday ruling, McAfee wrote that the defense had failed to meet its burden proving Willis, quote, acquired an actual conflict of interest in this case through her personal relationship and recurring travels with her lead prosecutor. But then the judge said that this highlighted a significant appearance of impropriety that infects the current structure of the prosecution team, an appearance that must be removed through the state's selection of one of the two options. So either Willis has to step aside or Wade has to step aside. But again, on appeal, if it appears to be a problem, so much so that somebody has to leave, why would that not be an appealable issue? At this point, I'm becoming increasingly doubtful that any of these cases are going to come to trial before the actual election, which means leg up to Trump for sure. And meanwhile, the Biden campaign continues to get more and more radical. So yesterday, Joe Biden released a statement about a person named Next Benedict. You'll remember the case of Next Benedict. Next Benedict was a young girl, a teenage girl, who died under what were treated as criminal circumstances. Next Benedict was a 16-year-old who claimed to be gender non-binary, but was in fact a girl. And originally, the media reported that Next Benedict was effectively beat to death on campus by a bunch of transphobe girls in the girls' bathroom. And then it turned out that pretty much every element of this story was a lie. So, for example, Next Benedict was actually on tape. She went to the hospital with her family after she got in a fight. And on tape, she effectively said that she started the fight with the other girls.
And so I went up there and I poured water on them. Okay. And then all three of them came at me.
You know, pouring the water, because I'm trying to get this in my mind so I see it, you know, as best
I had
I
a water bottle.
Thank you. That's exactly. Where did you get this water? Was it a cup you found? Was it your water bottle?
It's my...
Your daily water bottle you'd carry around.
Okay. I think it was a plastic water bottle.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, so you squirted them with water, or threw water on, whatever it was. Okay. Then at that point, what happened?
They came at me. They grabbed onto my hair. I grabbed onto them. I threw one of them into a paper towel dispenser. And then they got my legs out from under me and got me on the ground.
Okay.
And then my friends tried to jump in and help, but I'm not sure I blacked out.
This is obviously a troubled teen. She started a fight, and she didn't die of head trauma. She did not die because of the fight. As it turns out, the final autopsy showed that she died of toxicity from diphenhydramine, which is an antihistamine, and fluoxetine, which is an antidepressant medication. The medical examiner called it a suicide. So this was a drug-induced suicide. Ryan Walters, the state school superintendent, sent the Oklahoman a statement, quote, "The loss of our student in Owosso is tragic for the family, the community, and our state. The LGBTQ groups pushing a false narrative are one of the biggest threats to our democracy. I remain more than ever committed to never backing down from a woke mob." That is correct, the state superintendent. Now, again, you'll remember that an Oklahoma lawmaker, actually named Sean Cummings, actually blamed libs of TikTok and the state of Oklahoma for Next Benedict's death, despite the fact that Next Benedict, again, was a troubled teen who committed suicide.
Older girls don't just jump a 16-year-old in the bathroom for no apparent reason, especially when they're of the alphabet community, who you personally have attacked ever since you ran for office, and you brought in the chief attacker of this, Chaya Rychak. Okay? It's on you. There is legal culpability here. No Title IX was followed. Teacher didn't turn it in. Principal didn't turn it in. Is it mandatory reporting? Is that what it's called? Mandatory? Give me a nod. If you're on the school board, you should know. Is it mandatory reporting for somebody to report a hate crime? Is it mandatory? Did I not tell you this was going to happen? You emboldened these three girls yourself. Chaya Rychak emboldened these three girls by being on the library board. It's already difficult to be in high school. It's very difficult to be different. But when somebody's attacked for being different, this isn't even about the death part, because that's coming next, and we'll see who gets charged and how many families lose their children to prison.
Okay, so this was all a lie. It wasn't Chaya Rychak that did this. It wasn't the state of Oklahoma that did this. But there's a narrative that the left wishes to uphold in the United States, which is that whenever a person who is gender confused commits suicide, it's the fault of society. It's not the comorbidities that very often accompany feelings of gender confusion. Comorbidities like depression and suicidal ideation, which are extraordinarily high. No, it must be that everybody is mean. And so Joe Biden put out a full statement on Next Benedict. Just remember, Joe Biden has never pronounced Laken Riley's name correctly. She was Lincoln Riley to Joe Biden at the State of the Union address, the woman who was murdered by an illegal immigrant. And he downplayed her murder at the hands of an illegal immigrant by saying that it doesn't happen all that often. But when it comes to Next Benedict, a person who committed suicide because she was obviously in a state of depression, it would be shocking if that had nothing to do with her gender confusion. He put out a full statement on Twitter saying, quote, "In memory of Nex, we must recommit to our work to end discrimination and address the suicide crisis impacting too many non-binary and transgender children." And here's the full statement. Again, this is just propagandistic, absolute nonsense that's largely been debunked. Quote, "Jill and I are heartbroken by the recent loss of Nex Benedict. Every young person deserves to have the fundamental right and freedom to be who they are and feel safe and supported at school and in their communities. Next Benedict, a kid who just wanted to be accepted, should still be here with us today." So again, the idea is that all of society is responsible for next Benedict's suicide, despite the fact that the original story is that she was beat to death by a bunch of transphobes in the bathroom, and it turns out she started the fight and actually OD'd. Quote, non-binary and transgender people are some of the bravest Americans I know. This is always the shtick that Biden uses. They're the bravest people. The bravest people are people who are gender confused. So brave. Like the 18-year-old storming the beaches in Normandy, declaring that you're a gender non-binary person to the cheers of the people on TikTok. But nobody should have to be brave just to be themselves, says Joe Biden. In memory of Next, we must all recommit to our work to end discrimination and address the suicide crisis impacting too many non-binary and transgender children. Bullying is hurtful and cruel. No one should face the bullying that Next did. Okay, again, the story that she was being bullied in the bathroom for no reason because of her non-binary status. There is no evidence to support this to date. Parents and schools must take reports of bullying seriously. My prayers are with Next's family, friends, and all who love them, and to all LGBTQ plus minus divided by sign Americans for whom this tragedy feels so personal. Know this, I will always have your back. To LGBTQI plus minus divided by sign young people across the country, you are loved exactly as you are. Well, actually, that's not true. You don't even love you exactly as you are all too often because you wish to change your body parts or pretend that you are not a member of the biological group to which you actually are a member. But again, this is the radicalism of the Biden administration. Super duper radical on these issues. Even so much so that they are willing to completely ignore fact patterns in order to promulgate a false narrative. So just how radical is this administration? Well, when this administration is not promoting lies about the death of a teenager for political gain on the trans issue, Kamala Harris literally visited an abortion clinic yesterday because the Democratic Party has moved very, very far from the origins of the Democratic Party on these issues, from safe, legal, and rare, which was the Clintonian third way slogan in the 90s, which acknowledged that abortion was a moral evil at best. And now it's shout your abortion. Abortion's amazing. Abortion is the guarantor of liberty. Abortion is incredible. It's not a tragic circumstance under any it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful freedom. So Kamala Harris headed on over to an abortion clinic herself to champion abortion.
So I'm here at this healthcare clinic to healthcare uplift clinic. The work that is happening in Minnesota as an example of what true leadership looks like, which is to understand it is only right and fair that people have access to the health care they need.
You mean abortion?
And that they have access to health care in an environment where they are treated with dignity and respect. And please do understand that when we talk about a clinic such as this, it is absolutely about health care and reproductive health care. So everyone get ready for the
abortion
language.
Just
uterus.
Say
that part of the body needs a lot of medical care from time to time.
That's not what they do there.
Issues like fibroids. We can handle this. Breast cancer screenings.
Planned Parenthood dedicates almost no budget to breast cancer screenings. This is contraceptive
that
care.
Is the
you
kind
mean abortion?
Of work that happens here. In addition, of course, to abortion care.
Oh, in addition, of course, to abortion care. In addition, of course, to abortion care. That's what it is. So let me just point out that Planned Parenthood games the stats. Okay, the stats that Planned Parenthood puts out is they treat every single thing they do as a separate act in order so they can minimize the percentage of the services they provide, their actual abortion services. What they will do is if you come in and you ask for a pamphlet on contraceptive care, and then you make an application for contraceptive, and then you get the contraceptives. That's three separate acts, according to Planned Parenthood. So they can pretend that one quarter of what they do is abortion, which is not true. It is not true. The vast, vast, vast majority of what Planned Parenthood does with regard to quote unquote pregnancy services, as in like over 90%, is abortion. What they pretend is that the abortion services are like equivalent, an abortion is equivalent to you asking for a pamphlet, which is ridiculous. Rich Lowry wrote about this years ago in the New York Post. He said such cracked reasoning could be used to obscure the purpose of any organization. The sponsor of the New York City Marathon could count each small cup of water they hand out, some 2 million cups compared with 45,000 runners, and say they are mainly in the hydration business. Major League Baseball could say they sell 20 million hot dogs and play only 2,400 games in a season, so baseball is only 0.012% of what they do. Okay, so she has to minimize. Even when they are attempting to say that abortion is just the most wonderful thing in the world, they still have to minimize that that's actually what Planned Parenthood mostly does. They have to subsume it under the broader rubric of healthcare. Because in reality, it turns out most Americans are not super hot on abortion. They don't love it. At the best, they may want it available under certain circumstances. But They're certainly not on the shout your abortion, Lena Dunham side of the political aisle, which is where the Democratic Party is at this point in time. They are so extreme. And all of this is not going to redound to the benefit of the Democrats come November. Meanwhile, in New York City, the most shocking story of the day, there was, according to the New York Post, harrowing footage capturing a violent clash between two men on a Brooklyn subway car and the sheer panic among commuters after one of the brawlers was shot aboard the rush hour train on Thursday. Apparently, there were witness accounts shared with police that showed one man provoking another before at least four gunshots rang out on the crowded train as it pulled into the AC Hoyt Schermerhorn Streets station. The agitator, 36, was shot with his own gun when the other man, 32, managed to grab it away from him and open fire. Before the shooting, the two strangers tussled for several minutes as others on the train pleaded for them to stop, noting there were children aboard. The 36-year-old man was even stabbed by a woman as the pair sparred. The woman was said to be riding with the 32-year-old man on the train at the time of the incident, but later fled. "I'll beat you up," said the 36-year-old man, wearing a black sweatshirt and yellow baseball cap. He says, "You think you're going to beat up cops?" A woman off camera chimes in. "He thinks you're a migrant. He thinks you're an immigrant." "F your kind, F your race, F you," shouted the instigator as he hurled threats at the man and egged him on to stand up for himself. Unclear exactly what started the fight, but here is the agitator, by the way, told the victim he, quote, "only likes black people," adding, "F your kind." Again, national news story if that's a white guy saying that. But nope, it's a black guy saying that, and so we have to pretend that he didn't say that. Here is some of the tape from the subway. Everybody is huddling in the corner trying to, you know, avoid the fact that somebody just got shot 2 feet away from them. Things are going amazing in the New York City subway system. The 32-year-old was wearing a yellow shirt and black jacket and tried to ignore the relentless threats, but ultimately jumped out of his seat at the back of the car and put up his fist after being berated for nearly 2 minutes. The aggressor then screamed, "Let's get it." The two danced around each other, occasionally throwing fists, as the strangers begged them to stop. "Come on, there's babies here," one woman can be heard pleading. The aggressor then pounces on the other guy, pushes him onto the two-seater, and delivers several blows. A young woman intervenes and then hits the 36-year-old's back, which caused him to immediately turn his ire on her. So, yeah, things are going well in the New York City subway system, obviously. Clearly, this is the Democratic Party has turned New York City into, yet again, a bad place to live. This is what happens when you leave Democrats in control of New York City. It was a terrible place to live up until Rudy Giuliani became mayor. Then Rudy was mayor. And then Mayor Michael Bloomberg was mayor. And then they handed it over to Bill de Blasio. Then they handed it over to Eric Adams, and it is a pit sufficient that the New York governor now has to deploy the National Guard, but it isn't working. This is also what happens when you arrest people like Daniel Penny for the grave crime of stopping other people from getting violent on the subway. This is what happens if you block the Good Samaritans from actually stepping in and stopping violence on the subways. Guess what happens? More violence on the subways. So things are going great in New York City. All right, coming up, we'll be talking to Gabe Kaminsky of the Washington Examiner, who's uncovered some shocking emails showing the University of Virginia's DEI staff downplaying a professor who offered students extra credit to attend a pro-Hamas rally. If you're not a member, become a member. Use code Shapiro. Check out for 2 months free on all annual plans. Click that link in the description and join us.
Introducing two new and improved Jeremy's Razors. Fighting the left and building the future means constantly bringing your best, and that's exactly what Jeremy's Razors is doing. Choose between the new and improved Precision 5 razor for an exceptionally smooth and close shave, or the brand new Sprint 3 razor for a quick, clean shave. The new razors feature top-to-bottom redesign. Enjoy an ergonomic handle designed for superior durability. The new coated stainless steel blades are sharper, so they last longer. Increased flexibility allows the razor to better contour to your face to reduce nicks and cuts. Plus, the lubricating strip is now equipped with argan oil and aloe. It's time to toss out that woke razor and get yourself a Precision 5 or Sprint 3 trial kit today. Pledge to fight the left and build a future with Jeremy's Razors. Go to jeremysrazors.com and order yours today.